Hi, we're back. We're having some fun back here. You have to trust us on that one. So welcome back. We're kicking off for the next set of modules where we're going to be covering a little bit more on the cloud-only configuration, first of all. The way we've split this up is we wanted to cover the ground that was common, first of all, for both the unified and the cloud-only configuration. Now I'm going to zoom in a little bit on the cloud-only config for those who are interested in that as their primary service. And then we'll be switching back again this afternoon to the unified configuration to show how you then extend that to your on-prem config with System Center. So without further ado, let's switch back to the deck and see where we are in the day. Okay, so these next two modules I'm going to be covering are the cloud-only config for the roles and users and groups in the Windows Intune service, and then we'll drill down into the policies that are enabled through the cloud-only configuration. So in this section, what I've done is I've broken it into two parts. And the reason for that is we have seen some confusion around, again, how the groups and the user objects are appearing in the Windows Azure Active Directory, and then how you interact with those through the Windows Intune users and groups. So in this section, what I'll do is I'll take you through both those experiences and then show the link between them and exactly how they link together. So hopefully by the end of this, it'll be very clear what we mean by the users and groups inside your admin console for your administrator experience, and then the actual user identity that you're linking to through Active Directory. Okay, so taking some of the slides that you saw this morning with David's presentation, what I wanted to illustrate here is the focus I now have is that David has, through whatever mechanism we've used, has set up a synchronization that allows us to have a user identity in the Windows Azure AD. Now what we're going to do is we're going to enable those accounts, depending on how many you want to actually manage through Intune, you'll buy subscription licenses, and then you'll activate those accounts to be able to manage them through Windows Intune. And once you go through that process, the next step really is you'll need to set up the application, set up the policies, organize those users into groups that make sense for your requirements. And then I'll take you through the process of doing that as well. So the portal that we use, David was demonstrating earlier as well, exactly the same portal for activating the accounts as you use for enabling the directory synchronization and the single sign-on. So through this portal, accounts.manage.microsoft.com, you will be, as an administrator of the service, diving into this to manage user accounts, to check the status of the directory synchronization, to see what security groups are coming up from Active Directory for you to manage and interoperate with in the Windows Intune service. Now, in order to do this or have access to this, you need to be a certain level of administrator. So when you first sign up for the service, you will be given the rights of what's called a global administrator. And that pretty much has rights across the board to access that account console. But there are other roles that you can delegate and should delegate. So in this section, what I'll do is run through exactly what those roles are and then take you through the process of delegation. But before we do that, what I wanted to do is to talk about the process of user account activation. So back at the slides here, I've got a screenshot that shows a very important element for us here. And this is this piece here. So we've got this group, the Windows Intune group. This effectively activates the account for management by Windows Intune. And one key thing I need to explain here is the very first user that you use to set up the trial is a global administrator, but they're not automatically added to this group. So if you are just going through, let's say now you're following along, signing up for a trial, getting this set up, you will need to come into your account portal and make sure that the user you're logging on as, if it's just your global administrator, is added to this group. And we did that deliberately because it's quite likely that the infrastructure people, the guys who are managing either the online identity and service and subscriptions, or the Windows Intune help desk guys or the administrators, they may or may not be managed users. So we wanted to give you the ability to decide whether you want to use a Windows Intune license to manage the devices of that administrator, or whether they're just coming in here to do administration of the actual task they're responsible for. So by default, the first global admin is not added. You go in there, you click that link, and that will turn on their ability to then be managed. They'll appear in the Windows Intune admin console. Okay, so next up, assigning roles inside the account console. Now, I had to go back and do a quick refresh of this screenshot very quickly earlier this week, because the Windows Azure Active Directory service is an independent service, if you like, offered by Microsoft. So we are a consumer of it in the same way as Office 365 are, and Dynamics CRM and the SharePoint team are all using this Windows Azure Active Directory infrastructure. And they've turned on some roles here in the form of these allowability roles and the allow access roles that make sense in their environment for manipulation of the Windows Azure Active Directory. We're actually going to update our service now just to filter those out, but I wanted to show you these because if you're signing up now and setting these up, then this is exactly what you'll come up against when you come in and look at the activation of these roles and assigning them. So moving forward, it's really just the billing administrators, the global administrators, password service, and user management administrator that we will interoperate with in Windows Intune. So out of those roles, which ones am I actually going to assign to my users? So what I've done here is broken down a little table that shows you exactly what the roles are and what their capabilities or permission levels are from the cloud. So first and foremost, these first two here, or the managed support tickets, they don't really affect the Windows Intune service administration, but they are something that the manager of the online subscription may get involved with. So our global administrator is the first one that you set up, and best practice is create a second global administrator. Have that one, nice secure password, keep that password secured, locked away somewhere nice and safe. And the reason for that is if you forget the password of your global administrator, it's a painful process to have to phone up support and go through the verification that you do own this account.
So I will say, though, that when you first sign in, there is that prompt for your phone number, right?
Right.
So you when you sign in, make sure that you put in that phone number, you know, as a cover yourself in case you forget, right?
Absolutely.
You can send the email and or the text message to that phone.
Yeah, we've had a few people who've had exactly that situation where they've whizzed through this in the trial period. They didn't think they were going to need it. They didn't bother filling in all this information. And then when it comes to proving that they actually own this domain, and if you verify domains, this is serious stuff. You know, you own a DNS for your company, everything else. It's something you want to get right. So you do want to put that information in. Creating a second global administrator is a good practice. So if for some reason you do lose that password or forget it for the primary, you can go back to your backup, log in as that, and then reset the password on the other account. So back to the slides, we've got some other roles here. So the billing role, the way I like to think of this, this billing role is it's more of a, it's almost like the accounts guy. This is the person responsible for paying the bill at the end of the day. So this may well be your accountant who's logging in, signing in, okaying all the subscriptions, doing the purchasing information. For our IT perspective, obviously, if you've set this account up, that's your global administrator. But once you start getting out into these roles, this really is more of your day-to-day administration. So I think of these as your either your lower site administrators for the day-to-day Intune management features, or it's going to be your help desk guys. So they may be dealing with things like users forgetting their passwords. So you want someone with the password administrator role to be able to reset users' passwords for them so they can go through a process of recovering that identity. They also have some ability to manage the support tickets. We don't manage or interoperate with the Windows Intune service for the support tickets other than fixing issues that are shared between Windows Intune and the online services. So that's where this support ticket is limited to. So using this, you can see the kind of roles and capabilities that that you can delegate. And we do recommend you do this for your administrator roles. So let's switch over now to have a look at this in action. So here's my my console. There's my ID. And you see in this example, I'm just using a demo account here. So I'm still signing in with my full on Microsoft.com alias. So if we switch to my desktop, then I will sign in here. Did I not come out of presentation again? I thought I'd come out. Oh, there we go. Because I'd inked it, I had to discard my drawings. There we go. So let me sign in. And this is going to take me to the Windows Intune Administration Console. So this is our day-to-day admin console for monitoring health. And we'll be drilling into the features of this a little bit more. But the reason I signed into this first, rather than going to the account console, is I just wanted to show you a shortcut. If you want to get to the account console from here, if you go down to your tenant administrators under administration, click this link here, it'll open up a separate window to get you straight into your account console. It's fairly obvious from the other way around. If you signed into your account console, you can click your admin console and it'll take you straight to that. But it's not quite so obvious coming back the other way. So that's why I wanted to highlight this link. So in here, this is where we'll get involved with the day-to-day tasks of managing the user accounts themselves to make them available. So here, if I select the users option, I can see that I already have, thanks to the work that David's done, directory synchronization set up. These icons tell me that these accounts came from my on-prem Active Directory, whereas these ones were created directly in the console here, just by selecting new users or by the bulk import feature we talked about earlier. So in here, I have the option, I can select a user account, and as the admin, I can activate that account. I can see here that she's taking up, Allison's taking up a license in Windows Intune, so her account will be manageable. I can configure some of the status and settings here for her account, including the delegation of these tasks, so billing, global passwords, service administrator, and user administrator. Allison's our end user, so I definitely don't want to allocate that. But part of activating the account is also setting a location for that user. That's important so that we know what the licensing restrictions are based on the geography of the user. But this is loosely coupled. I just want to make it clear that there isn't a dependency on this geolocation and managing that user's devices. If this user has a managed RT device, for example, and they hop on a plane and fly over to Germany and sign in on that device on an internet connection there, then we can still manage that device. We're not restricting them by location here. It's purely a licensing restriction that needs to be addressed with this entry. Then we can also add in additional information. So depending on what you want to populate in here, this account was created manually, so I can type this information in and maintain this manually, or I can rely on that information being pulled out from the account automatically through Active Directory using directory synchronization.
Yep, and in fact, if you have a DirSynced account and you try to specify details in this section, then it'll give you a warning and say, nope, you can't save this. Configure them on-premise. One of the things that I didn't bring up in the session is that DirSync is a one-way operation. So when you synchronize, it goes up to the cloud. You can't change stuff up there on that synchronized account and have it come back. It only goes one direction. So similarly with this console, if you try and make the change there, which is the AD account, I'm not gonna take and not gonna replicate back.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for pointing that one out. So it is, in fact, if I go back to my users here and cancel out of this screen and do exactly this. So select, let's pick Eric's account, go into the settings, details here. You can see it's all grayed out, bar mobile device. That's the only field that we've got the ability to add additional things in for communication to the users here. But it's a user synchronized account from AD, so they expect the data to come from that. Okay, so that's the user configuration. We've got synced users, and we've got users that we've created in Windows Azure Active Directory. But we also have groups that are coming up here. Now, I already talked about the special group that is the Windows Intune group. So that's how you add a user account to be managed by Windows Intune. But because we've got directory synchronization in place, we have our security groups coming up from Active Directory. So these are populated groups that are coming from the on-prem Active Directory service. We can look at the details of who's a member of that group on site here, and we can keep an eye on what other groups are coming up. Once these are synchronized, we have the ability then to use these groups as a basis of a Windows Intune group. And that's really the focus of the next section, is how these two groups interoperate. So the first step is get the group created in AD. Next, get it synchronized into Windows Azure Active Directory so it becomes, a dynamic container that we can work with. And then the next step is to connect that into the Windows Intune environment and use that Windows Azure Active Directory group as a mechanism to get to the members of that group without actually having to manually do it through the Windows Intune admin console. So by having them in Active Directory here, a local administrator in the on-prem AD can add a single, let's say a new user joins the organization, we add them to a group, they're automatically populated and identified as part of the group that they've just been added to here, which means we can now apply policies directly to it. And that's going to be the next bit that we look at here.
So, well, one thing I want to bring up here, we kind of mentioned this earlier, but you notice there's a lot of similarity here between Office 365. And that is intentional, right? We wanted people who are already familiar with Office 365 and vice versa, Intune, to have a similar experience configuring, using their user accounts. In fact, like I mentioned before, it was so similar at one point via the account portal that we kind of had to make a differentiation, because you need to know that there's different things for Intune than there is for Office 365 with the portals and the admin experience. But if you're familiar with this already in Office 365, great. But not everybody has that already, so that's why we need to cover that.
Okay, so back to where we are in the console here. So at this point, I now have synchronized groups coming from AD, and I've got synchronized users coming from AD as well. So now what I want to do is switch back to our admin console and show you how that works in... in fact, let's switch back to the presentation now, and I'll show you the next step, which is looking at... let's go from here. We're going to be looking at how this then appears in the admin console, and then we'll walk through it next. So we're now switching to users and groups as they appear in the Windows Intune admin console. So these roles here are specifically designed to enable administrator to be able to do their day-to-day functions. That's the goal that we're trying to achieve here. So they have particular functions that are enabled through the Windows Intune console, such as publishing software, such as applying policies, gaining inventory information, that kind of thing. So these groups exist specifically for that function. And the user accounts, once they've been added to that Windows Intune group, are replicated into or appear inside the Windows Intune console. And those accounts can then be acted upon as well. So, for example, in this view here, we've got the account for me in my Intune environment. And you can see the devices that I've joined in here, when they last synchronized, what operating system that's running there, and other background information on the devices and the users. I also have the ability here to be able to retire and wipe those devices. And depending on what device I'm interoperating with, will depend on whether the wipe option is available to me. So for example, the iPad here, I can erase the iPad, I can erase the iPhone, I can erase the Windows phone. But a full-blown PC, we don't have the wipe functionality of a full-blown PC yet. It's something that we're looking at adding. But at this point, we don't have a wipe option. When you retire, what actually happens is the device is told to uninstall the Windows Intune agents, it'll uninstall our certificate, and the connection is broken between the PC and our service. So it cleans all out the Intune agents and returns the machine back to its state, if you like, before Intune joined it. So once we've done that, we switch to the groups. And we've got a set of default groups here that are created right from the get-go in the Windows Intune service. So these groups are hierarchically organized. At the very highest level, we have our all users. So this obviously includes every managed user that is identified with a license in the Windows Intune service. And then we have ungrouped users. Now, initially, this kind of doesn't make sense. But the goal here is to get you to a point where you are organizing all the users based on whatever strategy you wish to use. And I'll talk about that in a second. So if you're going down that route and you're moving users into, let's say, geographically organized groups or politically organized or role-based, however you want it to be, we want to be able to get back to a point where, okay, we've got 10 new users that we're managing this month. How do I find them quickly? Well, you go to that ungrouped users group. By selecting that, you can just see all the new users that you haven't done anything with since they were added to the service, and then you can move them manually into whatever groups you want. But I'm also going to be demonstrating the dynamic group membership, which will hopefully alleviate some of that so that you actually rely on the Active Directory to do that for you. Okay, so back at the slides here, we've got our default groups, users, all users, all devices, so if we're looking at all the device groups, and all computers, as well as all mobile devices. So we've got a hierarchy organized here that allows us to look at either all the PCs and mobile devices, just the PCs that we're managing, or computers, or just the mobile devices. And once you get below mobile devices, there's two groups here, and we'll be touching some more on this afternoon when we dive into the MDM features specifically. But this is where we can see the management channel that we showed in that architecture diagram, where we have directly managed devices that we're integrating and connecting directly to the OS versus the EAS managed devices that we're using the Exchange infrastructure and EAS clients on the device to be able to manage them. Then likewise, we have this ungrouped devices that again allows us this kind of quick click to see who's new and hasn't been organized into one of our device groups. And there's lots of strategies that we can use here. So the geo-based strategy is quite a popular one. A lot of our customers will do this. They will carve up the organization based on their geographical locations and then set groups at the highest level for those. Below that, they might then drill down into more political-based or role-based groups where you're talking about it's the sales team, it's the engineering team, it's the execs, whatever that grouping is. But you also have things like hardware-based functionality for the device groups. You may split them down into their desktops or laptops, or even down by specific OEMs. It really depends on what kind of level of grouping you want for your PCs and for your devices, so that you can then apply policies. And we'll have a look at exactly what those functions and features are in a second. So back to the slides. You can see I've just published up here a couple of examples. They really are just examples. Have a look at them. If they mean something to you, feel free to adopt these for your naming. You've got carte blanche here to be able to go in and modify these to fit however you wish. But an important part of that decision is understanding the functionality. So what I've highlighted here is the primary functions that you will be using Windows Intune to apply to these groups. So for the device groups, you'll be using them for publishing things like the updates to the software. You will be using it for pushing out software to the PCs themselves. So this is our software deployment mechanism. It's a push mechanism that allows us to determine that this application is going to install silently on the PC in the background, and it will just appear to the user. The policies that we have inside Windows Intune, and the next module will drill into exactly what those policies can do and what their capabilities are. But there are three policies that apply just to the device groups. That's the agent settings, the firewall settings, and the Windows Intune center policy. And we'll see what the functionality is of those next. But they can only be applied to a device group. Then we have notification rules. So a notification rule is the ability for the Windows Intune service to detect some kind of alert and then notify some users based on that. So you can import email aliases and then sign up notifications to that email alias. And you can assign those to a group inside the organization. So one example would be if you've got your support guys who support HQ, you can set a group for HQ, put the devices in that group, and then assign a notification to that group so that if an alert comes up of whatever type you're interested in, an email is automatically sent by the Intune service to those users just for that group. And that way you can carve up the admin role. Down at the bottom here, though, we've got our users and groups as well. Oh, sorry, I missed that report, so I should just hop back here. We have a basic reporting functionality built into the Windows Intune console, and we can use device groups for those to determine things like what the update status is for those groups, to determine things like hardware inventory, configuration information, hard drives filled up, whatever it may be. And then for the users groups, a little simpler configuration here. We basically have the software publishing capability. So this is making software available to the end users through this company portal that we'll be looking at later, as well as applying mobile device security policy to those users groups. So this way, we can ensure that whichever device is brought into the organization by the user, when they are signing up and enrolling that device, the policies that you want applied to that user apply to that device. So this is why we apply this security policy to a user-level group to enable you to do that. And we'll talk some more about that later on. So next up, I wanted to identify this this dynamic criteria, because this is the mechanism that you can use to cut down on a lot of the manual group creation. So here we have a setup that is our Windows Azure Active Directory. We've got a We've got our Windows Azure Active Directory here. We've got Windows Intune synced to it with the groups connected. So I know that in here I've got security groups that are available to me that I can work with inside my Windows Intune admin console. So we use a process called criteria membership. And this membership allows us to select particular attributes of those users or device groups inside Windows Intune. So those attributes include the organizational units and the domain membership of devices, or security groups and managers of user objects. So doing that, we can actually link to these groups using the management criteria and then determine that a policy will only apply to users of this particular manager or members of this particular security group, such as sales. So what I'll do now is I'm going to switch back out to the admin console. Let me just discard my scribblings on there. And back to my desktop. Let's go back into the admin console. And here we've got this group here called Groups. So if I zoom in here, this menu over on the left-hand side are all our workspaces. This is where we access all the functionality that the console enables for us.
We got a good question that I think is related to what you're covering here, but it says, computers can belong to multiple groups, and so how are conflicts resolved? How does that all work when you have multiple groups with a single computer?
I'm very pleased you asked that, because straight after this demo, we'll take you into a session that or other slide that shows exactly how we handle that that whole process of multiple policies applying to the same user or computer. Because you're right, you can add them into multiple groups. You can have users and computers in there, and it's the system will automatically flush out the resultant set of policy, to use a group policy term, to determine exactly what happens. So I've got a slide that addresses just that question coming up. So in here, if I select my groups, you can see how those groups are highlighted here. All users, all devices are the highest level groups. When I drill down, we had that default ungrouped users group. And then we've got the custom groups that I've started creating here. And we've got a task over here to create a group. So let me select that for creating a group in the Windows Intune admin console. So this is my little demo here. So if I could type demo, that's what I put in there. Fun stuff. And now over the side here, we've got our parent group. So I can select to make this group either a user group by selecting the all users group as the parent, or I could select the devices group, which would turn it into a device group inheriting from below here. And you can see it is hierarchical. So I could select down into this tree and have the groups filtered based on the membership above. So if I select that, You can see here, I've got the option here to decide I want an empty group or I want to inherit those groups that are above me. And now I can choose to include members of groups that are from the Windows Azure AD. So by clicking Browse here, you'll see what the box brings up are all those groups that were identified in the Windows Azure Active Directory through directory synchronization. So now if I wanted this group to be linked just to the engineering team, add them in, click OK. Now, any user who is a member of the engineering team will automatically pick up and be identified as a member of this group. Likewise, I could do a similar kind of thing from searching for members. I don't have any managers in my little demo environment right now, so you can't see the managers in here. But I could select a manager criteria, and then if that was set up in my AD, you'd see those populate down here. Not only can we include these groups, we can also choose to exclude. So that would allow me a little bit more granularity to be able to decide that I want a whole bunch of these users, but if there is a group in here that I specifically want to exclude, then that makes life a lot easier here. So for example, I could choose, let's say if I applied this to, go back here, my all users group, I could have all users in there, then I can choose to exclude anybody who is a member of the execs group, just as an example of how I would use the exclude functionality. So once I've done that, we can go to the next screen. And here I have another level of granularity again. So I can really start to drill down now to the individual users in here that would allow me to specifically include or specifically exclude an individual user. So a great level of control and granularity here. Once I click this and go finish, which I won't do for this demo account, I'll just cancel out of this now. Then that group is just going to appear as part of the groups that I can now interoperate with. And by using that dynamic criteria, that may be the last time that I actually need to look at the membership of that group again, because at that point, the users from Active Directory and the membership of the groups in AD determine exactly what Windows Intune will do with that group, because I can now assign to, let's say, my execs group policies or software allocation to that group, and then whoever is the admin on-prem will deal with that in Active Directory when a new exec comes on board. Okay. So let me switch back to this.
So I think we're kind of, are we done with the four there?
What we've got is the dynamic criteria next. So yes, that's the end of this module now.
Okay.
And we're going to switch over and take a look at policies and how those policies are applied. And that's where we're going to drill down into how the policies are handled, the resultant set of policies handled when you've got multiple applying policies.
Okay. One quick question I know that we had was that can you manage Windows Intune in any way via PowerShell? I've gotten asked that a number of times in the past.
Interesting question. So the short answer is no.
Okay.
However,
yeah.
And that's the answer that we have to give. It really does depend on the level of experience that you've got. So one of the functionalities that Intune does have is it does have the ability, especially on PC platforms that support PowerShell, we can bundle up EXEs and MSIs and deploy those to devices. And we've had several MVPs and people sort of say, well, if I create an EXE with PowerShell scripts inside, can I not deploy that with Windows Intune? And the answer is technically yes, it can be done. Will you get support for that script from the Intune team? Well, no, it's a scripting solution. It's something that we have no control over what you're doing in your script. So the technical mechanism will work. Where it starts to get a little bit more challenging is when you've got new platforms like Windows RT. It supports PowerShell, but it doesn't support EXEs or MSIs. So for those platforms, a little bit more difficult. We actually can't push a PowerShell script to those platforms today. But in PCs, There is hope. If you know what you're doing with PowerShell, then you can bundle those apps up and get them working and pushed to devices. But you are kind of on your own with the PowerShell guys at that point.
Well, that's no, and that's no different really, right, than with SCCM. We're not going to, support you for all kinds of crazy scripts that you have unless you maybe have a developer account or developer support thing on something you're trying to create or develop, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that we should probably wrap. I will give you more time. I don't want to squash your other session. So
yep.
There you go.
So we'll take it there and kick off with the next module in a few seconds.